We cannot speak with you. There is a soldiers.
They're soldiers?
Yes.
What are they doing here?
We are prison here.
What's happening?
They are keeping here, and the soldiers are upstairs. We cannot move. We cannot speak with you.
You can't leave the house?
No.
They told you that?
Yes. I can't breathe.
How long are they going to stay?
I don't know.
Are they paying you any money?
You are kidding.
He told us when the soldiers come, they wake everybody up and herd them into a kitchen for hours while soldiers sleep in their bedrooms.
Greetings of peace. Before I bring out my next guest, former UFC MMA five-time world champion Jake Shields. Let's have a look at this.
This is the Dean Show.
Girl, I love you very much. I love all the work that you're doing.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
And I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Dean Show. The Dean Show.
Jake Shields.
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good.
It's good to have you with us here.
Thank you.
So, five-time world champion, veteran of the UFC.
Yep.
Tell us, for our audience who is not too familiar with you, a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I fought, like I said, for 20 years professionally. You know, won 5 world titles, fought for the UFC title, multiple grappling championships as well. So that was my entire life, completely focused for 20 years. Lately been, you know, just kind of randomly started tweeting, started blowing up there. So starting to get a big following in politics by accident as well. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, doing multiple things.
You know what's interesting? Was that you fought Sakuraba?
Sakurai, Japan, massive star, yeah.
Yeah, when I was listening to you speak, so he was a big name.
Yeah.
And then you were just coming up.
Yeah.
And you beat him.
Yeah, saying because they asked, what was one of my more meaningful fights? That's not one that hardly any people really remember, but that for me that was meaningful because I was completely unknown. They brought me to Japan. They gave me 2 weeks' notice. They would give you short notice because they wanted you to lose. No time to do a camp. And I went out there and pulled a massive upset, beat the guy. He was ranked number 2 in the world at the time, and I was unranked. So that was pretty cool. It's the first time on a plane, flying out to Japan, another country, a massive arena, and pulling a huge upset.
So you were with other organizations or mainly with UFC?
Oh, man, I was all over.
Over the place?
I fought with the UFC. I was with Strikeforce for a while. They were, unfortunately, they went under, but they were a massive show on Showtime and CBS. They were UFC's big competitor for a while. So I was with them. UFC fought in Japan and like Shudo, Pancrase, used to be massive. Unfortunately, you know, the fighting in Japan's gotten smaller too, but they had massive, it was bigger than the US at the time.
How did you become now? So you went from fighting and then being a veteran here and someone in the UFC and in the sport, and you become someone who I've been following for a while on the Twitter, former Twitter X.
Yeah.
And you've been I actually got this video that I just shared from your page, the video that we just opened up the program. And what's your reaction to some of the words for the people that weren't able to see everything? It's pretty much Israeli children singing, "We will annihilate everyone in Gaza. Autumn night falls over the beach of Gaza. Planes are bombing destruction. Look, the IDF is crossing the line to annihilate the swastika bearers. In another year, there'll be nothing there, and we will safely return to our homes. Within a year, we will annihilate everyone, and we will return to plow the fields."
Yeah, at this point, I think it's not really surprising. It's kind of what, after what we've seen the last, 6 weeks or so, it's what, you see the genocidal rhetoric that is not surprising at all. It's still disgusting, of course, but as we've seen so much of this the last, 6 weeks, it's not surprising to me. I think a lot of people at this point are kind of getting used to, still a little weird to have little kids, singing a song about massacring a race of people, but not surprising.
I remember when this whole thing started and kicked off, one of your first tweets regarding it, you were kind of on the fence.
Yeah, I mean, I knew the Palestinians were, mistreated and stuff, but also, that they pushed the massacre. It was such a horrible thing. I can't condone that. So I'm like, hey, I'm just kind of staying out of this. I understand, I understand they're mistreated, but that was not okay what they did. But, the more the bombing and the more stuff, the more investigating I started doing, the more awful that's how Israel was. Especially now, we were just talking about how the whole invasion story is looking not quite what they originally pushed out. Like, mm-hmm. you know, they had warning it was coming. They now it just leaked out that Israel was bombing. They killed at least 400 of their own people, not Hamas. The stories of the, you know, the beheaded children's obviously fake. No evidence of any rapes taking. They put all they spun an extremely fake narrative right away to freak people out. And now the truth coming out that's quite different.
Mm-hmm. Max Blumenthal, he's an investigative journalist, award-winning independent journalist. Do you know Max Blumenthal?
I know that name. I've seen his tweets on Twitter. I'm not sure if I follow him or if he just pops up in my timeline.
Yeah, he's actually someone who's written on this. And then you also have Hertz, I think it's the Israeli magazine. They adjusted the numbers now. Mm-hmm. But so what you're talking about specifically is that...
I think this, what's coming out, the report I read is... I've seen this a couple places now, and it seems like I think the Israeli government even admits it. They come out with their Apache helicopters.
The Apache helicopters, I saw. Yeah. The Apache helicopters.
They just started blasting people, and they killed, you know, hundreds of their own people because they couldn't tell which was which. And instead of, like, waiting, they just started spraying everyone. And I think that's probably a lot of the civilians that died from the concert was from the Israeli military.
Yeah, and then people getting burned up and stuff from the heavy artillery shells, mm-hmm. from the tanks also.
Yeah, you can see all these, like, cars and these videos of people, like, burnt to death in them. And I don't know for a fact, but I don't think Hamas has any weaponry to do that. So mm-hmm. that early on was a suspicion of mine when you're seeing this row of cars just totally wiped out. It's like, well, what did Hamas allegedly do that with? Mm-hmm. That was kind of an early sign that maybe it was something else, like helicopters that came in and done it. Now it's now they're admitting helicopters came in and wiped them out.
Yeah, I just want to make a disclaimer. I'm pretty sure you're not. I'm not a card-carrying member of any Hamas.
Definitely not. Everyone's calling me a terror sympathizer, and, you know, I'm not supporting them by any means. But
I'm about truth, mm-hmm. justice, and it seems like that's what you're about.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get to the truth. You know, I don't support any terrorist organization killing any civilians.
Me neither.
But I prefer to find out what's really happening.
And at the same time, I'm not somebody, I'm sure you're not either, so I'm a critical thinker, someone who is not blindly following the mainstream media.
Yeah.
I have a mind of my own, I want to investigate, and it seems like you're the same way.
Yeah, no, I've been, like I said, I just start, you know, I've been digging, and the more I dig, the more I see just lies upon lies that Israel's been saying for the years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, they've done a good job of completely controlling media, and they're kind of losing control with Twitter. And I think, I'm not really on TikTok, but I guess TikTok too. So now they pulled most of the big advertisers canceled on Twitter, trying to get Elon Musk to censor us because they're calling to censor like me and some other big accounts that are I'm just posting out videos I see, pushing articles, stuff like that, things that are true, and they're trying to cancel me. Usually they're not trying to cancel you for telling lies; it's for spreading truth.
Mm-hmm. You actually sent or responded to a tweet that Elon Musk recently tweeted. He said. He said this past week, so this is Elon Musk saying this past week there were hundreds of bogus media stories claiming that I'm anti-Semitic. Nothing could be further from the truth. And then you responded, the word anti-Semitic is completely meaningless. And at this point, it's not even worth addressing when someone makes that accusation. So this is you responding to that? So you're sending sending a message to Elon Musk?
I've been called anti-Semitic so many times this week that it's a joke. The first couple of times I would respond and, you know, try to argue or not, but then you realize it's a meaningless attack to try to shut you down.
And of course the campaign starts, and before you know it, the guy's labeled. And he's an anti-Semite. Because that's what we say he is. And that's one stain you cannot wash. Now, it shames me as a Jew to tell you that, but that's the fact, and it's wrong.
You know, mm-hmm. I have plenty to do work. Luckily, my Jewish friends aren't these whiny little, I see guys trying to get people fired and canceled. My Jewish friends are still my good friends. I've had no falling outs with them over this. Mm-hmm. I can have disagreements. I'm actually out here in Chicago, you know, doing business with one of my Jewish friends is the funny part, and there's mm-hmm. People need to make sure not to, like, I've seen people start turning racist. Of course, it's not Jews, it's the Israeli government. Mm-hmm. People need to be very clear about that. It's like, you know, when people are trying to blame Muslims for 9/11, that's completely wrong. And they need to do the same with this. You can't blame all Jews for what the Zionists are doing over there.
That's important because same thing with my Israeli and Jewish friends mm-hmm. that I've had on the program, and they're totally against what's happening. So Jewish rabbis, Orthodox Jewish rabbis, they're saying that the followers of Theodor Herzl, who made this whole movement Zionism, that's who they're not following Moses, the teachings of true Judaism. Mm-hmm. They're following this whole Zionist movement,
yeah.
and they're against that also.
Exactly. And that's
they're saying not in our name. You have many Jews saying not in our name.
Exactly. It's not the Jewish faith that's doing this. Exactly. It was the Zionism, the Theodore, was it Herzl or whatever, and that's just barely over 100 years old.
Yeah. So I think this is real important. And usually what I tell people is, me as a Muslim, I love Jesus. Mm-hmm. I love Moses. I love Jesus' mother Mary. Mm-hmm. They were of that that ethnic group. Yeah. So it's actually... it's against Islam to be anti-Semitic or to hate someone because they're a certain ethnicity. So that doesn't,
exactly. And I think it's, you know, all racism is bad, and between and going against all the religions, like all three of the religions are so similar. That's why I think it's stupid when you see Christianity, Muslim, or Judaism fighting when it's all based off that they all worship the same God.
You know, it's interesting over there in Palestine, you have Palestinians who are Christian also, and they're being oppressed. In this situation, same thing. They're being displaced. Same thing, and many people don't see that other side. But I really recommend people to go to your Twitter or X handle now, because you're one of the leading. You're actually one of the leading people out there now.
Yeah, I think pretty wild. I think it's like I'm like top 10 in the world in politics, which is
top 10. And you weren't planning that.
I had no idea. I'm not a. It's the funny part, because I'm not like a, don't consider myself a political commentator.
Yeah.
I just, you know, kind of tweet random thoughts in my head. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just because the other people are so fake. I don't think maybe, realistically, I probably shouldn't be in the top 10, but the people I'm against are just so fake. They're bought. I think it becomes obvious to people. They get sick of it.
Yeah.
So I always tweet my real thoughts, not necessarily the most politically correct. I'll just, you know, tweet random things without any thought to it. You know, wake up, send 4 or 5 tweets, and then a lot of times they'll end up going viral, versus these other guys are all trying to think things through, try to write them perfect. They have like media teams, what they've done their whole life. It's just so obviously fake and unauthentic. Mm-hmm. And they also, a lot of these guys show their bot, especially this Israel thing. A lot of these guys holding their tongue, and then you start seeing who funds them. You know, guys like Charlie Kirk, you know, I asked him one of his tweets, you know, are you funded by any Israeli Jewish groups? He responded back, I don't take money from the Israeli government. I go, that wasn't my question. Then no reply, you know.
Uh-huh. You know what, I commend you. I mean, you have a lot of people who are courageous enough to jump in a cage to fight. You know, you've been doing it for so long. But when it comes to standing for something, something important, you know, something as vital as this, I mean, you got innocent babies' lives being, how many now? It's almost like 5,000 innocent kids.
I think it's more than that now.
It's more, huh? Mm-hmm. And that's not even, Jake, that's not even considering how many are not found under the rubble.
Yeah, so probably, probably a couple thousand more, exactly.
Right? Did you see those? You saw all these. I mean, you know what touched me? You see these kids who survive, but then the little kids, like, there was one I won't forget. It was amazing, you know, just like how they're pulling together. And the young brother, he's like, get my brother over there. He's with his sister. He's like, get my brother. And then the little one, the little brother, he can't be like 5 or 6. He's like, where's my mother? Where's my mother? Mm-hmm. So they survived, but mother didn't survive. Mom, father didn't survive.
Yeah, no, it's so sad. You know, I'm on some of those Telegram channels, and it gets to the point where I can't watch too many of them because it's just sad. You know, these kids or parents losing their children, just video after video. Just you see the real suffering going on over there. And for me, you know, when I first started siding with the Palestinian people, my audience was more right-wing, and they were super mad trying to get me to go to the other side. But I'll always speak what I believe to be true. You know, I don't care if I lose followers. I think initially I lost around 20,000 followers, but you know, now I've gained more. I'd rather speak my mind and lose followers than be fake to keep followers.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about, is like, people will now, when it comes to standing for something, mm-hmm. like what you're standing for, people are scared. They're scared to get canceled. Mm-hmm. They're scared. And that's the real courage, the courage that you're displaying now.
Yeah, to be fair, you know, I do have a job where I'm a little more harder to fire. I do have them after me trying to cancel me for everything I do. You know, set up seminar tours. They were sending people letters, trying to get them to cancel, trying to get them, all the guys I work with, sending letters, trying to make up false allegations of, you know, anti-Semitism, saying I'm a Jew-hating Nazi. So they do have organized groups to try to get people fired. So that's how they're able to spread, to keep truth from spreading, to keep intimidation tactic.
You know, you're following the footsteps of someone like, because many fighters, they'll come and go and they'll be forgotten. Mm-hmm. But people like, you know, it's not just because Muhammad Ali, he was a great fighter, but it's what he did outside the ring.
Yeah.
He stood for something and he left a legacy. And this is, you're following down the same way, because you're speaking up and you're using your platform to speak for justice. It's not about being, I don't say pro this or pro that, it's about pro-truth, pro-justice.
Yeah, no, I'll always try to find what I think is truth. You know, I'm not going to go and jump whatever side I think is popular at the time.
And, yeah.
I said, with my following, I went to the side they didn't want me to. But now, you know, but now I've got, like you said, you gain new followers. You lose some of the old ones. But yeah. I'm going to say what I think. You know, people don't like me for what I'm saying. I don't want them to follow me.
Now I'm going to take us to this next clip, and I want you to check it out. And it's more so also for the people who are on the outside, and maybe they haven't had much exposure. I just want them to put themselves in this person's shoes. Just imagine this happening to you. And this is a day-to-day occurrence for people who are living in this side of the world.
We understand that Israeli soldiers came in this morning and, without any notice, without any invitation, came into the apartment and have been there ever since.
We cannot speak with you. There is a soldiers.
They're soldiers?
Yes.
What are they doing here?
We are prison here.
What's happening?
They are keeping here and the soldiers upstairs. We cannot move. We cannot speak with you.
You can't leave the house?
No.
They told you that?
Yes. I can't breathe.
How long are they going to stay?
I don't know.
Are they paying you any money?
You are kidding.
I'm kidding. Abdel Nassif, the bank manager, said he had to get to his bank to open the safe, but that soldiers won't let him go. He told us when the soldiers come, they wake everybody up and herd them into a kitchen for hours while soldiers sleep in their bedrooms. They can't leave or use the phone or let us in. He sent us downstairs to see if his brother would open the door so we could ask the soldiers why they keep taking over this house.
You want to come?
Yes. Just open the door and then...
The soldiers closed the door from the keys. They take the keys.
So we left, and that night, so did the soldiers. But when we returned 2 days later, the soldiers were back for more surveillance. This time, they kept the women under house arrest, but let the men go to work and the children go to school. When the children returned, we caught a glimpse of two armed soldiers at the top of the stairs. Then more children came home, but the soldiers wouldn't open the door again.
They say if you don't go back behind the wall, the children will not enter the house.
But this is where the children live.
Yeah, but you need to go away from the door so I can let the children come in, okay?
Who are you?
He's a commander here.
He's a commander here?
Yeah.
Can we talk to you?
No.
Well, we're talking to you now. Why don't you tell us what you're doing here? Have you lost your voice? Well, they've closed the door now. They've closed the window. So I guess if the children are going to get home, we have to leave. So that's what we'll do. An army spokesman told us the soldiers use the Nassif's house for important surveillance operations. The Nassif's told us the soldiers usually stay for a day or two, always coming and going in the middle of the night. When they do go, the Nassif's never know when they'll be occupied again. It could be tomorrow, next week, or next month. The only certainty, they say, is that the soldiers will be back.
Yeah, I think it's like crazy. I think it's one of those things. To me, I'm not surprised now. I think a lot of Americans don't know this is like the normal over there. And they'll even kick people out of their homes for good. It just goes on. They just, the way they treat them. I think you start seeing this stuff, like, this can't be real. I think people are just like refusing to believe they're doing that. But that's the norm.
It's like cognitive dissonance. Like, they can't imagine. But do you see, like, imagine they're coming. He was like, I can't breathe. It's almost like, is this a joke? Is this like, satirical? This is actually his.
Yeah, I believe it's the Third Amendment in our Constitution is that soldiers can't come in your house like that. So, you know, you get these, that's why I'm laughing, these right-wing American guys or constitutionalists, they claim, they're defending this. It's like, you're the same guy saying you use your Second Amendment right to shoot anyone that comes in your home, and you're defending these terrorists coming in, kicking people out of their homes, bulldozing their homes. It's kind of laughable, these guys, the hypocrisy of their own thinking.
Wow, that's a good point. Look at that. So you'll fight here for the Constitution, that now...
Third Amendment, the soldiers can't come in and use your house like that, because that was a problem that used to happen 100 years ago, where soldiers would come in and take people's homes. They literally wrote it in our Constitution, and these same guys, they say they're constitutionalists, are defending Israel. Also, the Second Amendment, we can bear arms, so we can shoot people that come in our homes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so, and he's not just, they're coming in the home, sleeping in his bed. Imagine someone sleeping in your bed.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like,
comfort air.
And any time, they don't even know. I've seen also some of your posts, you have, so these are, even they have, breaking the silence. These are former IDF soldiers. They're coming out.
Yeah.
and we're getting this stuff from them also.
Yeah, I've seen some stories from the IDF saying how they were, that they were told to do. They patrol these neighborhoods. They tell them to come in at night, harass families, wake them up, steal the homes. Just talking about, you know, what a joke their job is. And this, I believe, this is the West Bank, I believe, which Hamas doesn't operate there. So everyone's like, oh, it's Hamas's fault, Hamas's fault. Well, Hamas isn't even in the West Bank, so how do they justify that?
That's a good point, too. That's another side over here that they're not even there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's no rationale to these people's logic. It's just been it's been spun by the media so well, they can't stop believing it. And I think like most of my Jewish friends, the ones that are, you know, hardcore Israel supporters, they don't believe this stuff either. It's not they think this stuff's right. They don't believe it's going on. They've been brainwashed as well.
And that's another good point. The brainwashing is also happening now, the programming. And hopefully, if anyone's sincere, they take a look, because that's what many people did, you know, who got on the side of the truth, is they got beyond the programming and they took a deeper dive.
Yeah, Israel offers like what, Birthright, where they pay for all Jewish people to come out there. They show them around. Yeah. They preach all this propaganda to them. So they try to put this program in their head. So a lot of them believe it. They don't, you know, they don't know this is going on themselves.
Is that the actor James Wood? Actor James Wood.
Oh, yeah.
Is that actually his Twitter feed? He's a famous actor, right?
Yeah.
I was surprised, and I saw him tweeting, "No ceasefire, no compromise, no forgiveness, and hashtag kill them all."
Yeah,
I was very shocked. I mean, I've watched some of his films. He's like
a
very
good actor. Yeah.
Yeah, I was shocked.
Yeah, especially because Elon Musk said calls for genocide won't be allowed. And what he's talking about that is, I guess, saying from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. They're trying to say that's genocide, which that could mean a lot, because that could mean so many different things. To be free, it just means, I mean, the Israelis could move, but the Israelis try to say that's a call for genocide, which seems a little ridiculous. So I think Elon caved and said he won't allow that on there, but he allows this. So you can't say from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, but you can say kill all Palestinians.
I've asked, that's ironic. I've asked Palestinians, what does that actually mean? What are you trying to eradicate? Just say no. I mean, you've had, as you know, and when I speak to people who know the history, these are academics, they'll say that Jews and Christians and Muslims for over 1,000 years were living there in peace.
Until Zionism came about, Jews flourished as distinctly religious Jewish communities, and they weren't massacred. On the contrary, they went to these Arab and Muslim lands to escape persecution from the Crusades, from the Inquisition, and from many other trials and tribulations, and even World War II. The Arab and Muslim lands opened their hearts, opened their lands, and provided a safe haven and a gracious hospitality for the Jewish people. Clearly, we have different religion, and yet we were accepted in these Muslim and Arab lands. We believe in one God, and we were accepted. We have different ways of serving God, but yet, we were respected, and even the Muslim religion requires of that. Of the Muslim people to provide protection and hospitality, and they did carry that out. That's clear. Nobody could refute this fact.
The Jews and Muslims lived in peace for over 1,000 years. And why is it suddenly now that the Muslims, these guys allegedly hate Jews and suddenly want to kill them? Clearly it's Zionism that's the problem. It's not Islam, and it's not Muslims against Jews. That's the main thing we have to tell people. It's a political thing. It's Israel. It's not the Jews.
They were relatively living in peace, and you had now this movement that came, and you had the apartheid state. Now it's an apartheid state, open concentration camp. So when they say river to the sea, they want to be free of all this.
Yeah, exactly.
They just want their rights. That's all it is.
And now they're banning, they're making it illegal to say that in multiple countries. I think Twitter just banned that saying. I think it's France and Germany made it where they can arrest you for saying that and put you in prison. It's kind of wild.
Isn't that wild? Yeah, in France, you can't have protests or...
Really shows you how much power the Israeli lobby has. You know, that's the thing I wasn't aware of either. You see like how every politician... The guys that were claiming they were anti-war, they all of a sudden jumped at war for Israel. And then I started saying, this makes no sense. I started digging, you know, AIPAC, by far the strongest lobby in the United States, which is AIPAC, the pro-Israel lobby, which all other foreign lobbies have to register as a foreign agent. But for some reason, AIPAC doesn't. So they're able to raise massive amounts of money, which can be hard to track for these politicians. I think they were bragging what they think, like 97% of the candidates they pick win their elections. So they're pretty much rigging U.S. elections so they can control our political system.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And no one will ban it because they control them all, so they're not going to pass a law making it illegal to lobby as it should be, because they have all the politicians in there. So they've created such a mess, it's going to take a while to unwind it, but at least people are starting to wake up and starting to see it.
What do you think, recently you had Candace Owens. She had a tweet, and it was a pretty, and I commend her, really. She had a tweet that started off with saying, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And then she went on with the rest of it. And it was, and then at the end she said, "You cannot serve both God and money." And then there was this back and forth with her and Ben Shapiro. Did you see that clip with Ben Shapiro?
I saw them arguing a little bit, but
let me show you the clip, and I'll get your comments.
Yes, the question is about Candace Owens. I think her behavior during this has been disgraceful. Without a doubt, Candace Owens is disgraceful. I get what was that? And I think she's been absolutely disgraceful. I think that her faux sophistication on these particular issues has been ridiculous. It's not faux sophistication, it's ridiculous. Everybody can see the moves that she's making and the things that she's saying, and I find them disreputable.
Calling for peace, he's calling disgraceful. Seems ridiculous, because Candace Owens hasn't even said that much, but they just want to completely control everyone. They can see she's probably starting to lean towards that side, so they're trying to shut her down. So some other organization was like denouncing her today. So,
yeah, that's all she was doing. She was, as a Christian, and I was wondering, like, you know, how are you going to be able to support something like that? And now she's actually taking a stand subtly. I mean, just, you know, softly.
Yeah.
Not even hard. And then, boom, he's like attacking her and whatnot, because she's just calling her heart. I mean, you can't just help it. Like, these are human beings, but they want to paint everyone like they're animals. See, and this is the same thing that was done to Jews at that time, what Hitler was doing, what Nazis were doing, painting them as rats and animals. But then it was like, were you gonna...
Yeah, no, they're doing the exact same thing with Benjamin Netanyahu, calling the Palestinians like human animals, and it's pretty wild. The exact same things they've always talked about, they're doing.
Yeah, and that's the ironic thing. So she came out, and then now he's, you know, saying what he's saying about her, and he seems like he's been really fueled up. He's like really excited about just war, you know. He's like really excited about just how much is enough. To him, it doesn't seem like there's a limit.
Yeah, it seems like they want the complete annihilation of, you know, of Gaza and probably the West Bank. It doesn't seem like they're really trying to do any settling. They don't really seem like they want any two-state solution. It seems like they just want to wipe them out. You know, there's been multiple people, like Nikki Haley, talking about, oh, let's bring them into Europe and America. It doesn't seem like, you know, like I said, they have so much control over our politicians. It seems like they want to wipe them out and get them, you know, take what's left of Palestine and take that land.
Do you know a fighter? He was recently on the Joe Rogan podcast. Ted Kennedy.
Tim Kennedy.
Tim Kennedy. Yeah. Did you ever fight him?
No, I know him, but never fought him.
Yeah, what he had some comments recently. How did you?
I didn't watch the episode. Yeah. I think he's a little more like pro-Israel, but I didn't watch the episode. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so you didn't watch that, huh?
No.
Yeah. Where do you see this going? Where do you see now with everything that you know and everything, you're becoming more and more educated, where do you see this going?
Man, it's hard to say. I don't see any good solution, unfortunately, especially for the Palestinians. They're out there getting massacred. Their homes are all wiped out. You know, tens of thousands. I think around 20,000 of them have been killed now.
It's up to 20,000, huh?
I think I saw like 19 written this morning, not to mention the missing.
Wow.
And then I think it was like more like two, I think 75% of them are homeless now. So what's the solution? They have nothing to rebuild, nowhere to go. So I don't really know what they're going to try to do. Are they going to try to push them out to Europe and America as refugees? Or are they going to let them rebuild? It's I don't really see Israel offer them anything. Unfortunately, I don't see what good solution they can have.
It is, you know, we often had that slogan, like, never again. Mm-hmm. And rightfully so.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. You had the evil Holocaust that happened. And this is why we kept hearing this repeated, never again, to any. That's not just for one people, for any people. But now we're seeing it in 4K. And it's like, I'm saying now, like, okay, never again, but except for this group of people.
Yeah, you know, I think they used Holocaust such an awful thing. I think they use that as leverage to silence people. So it allowed them to be pushing a genocide. And if you mentioned that, they'd mention that, they'd be like, Holocaust, Holocaust. They've done a great job of weaponizing it. Because unfortunately, there's been a lot of awful genocides throughout history, but none of the other ones are pushed like the Holocaust. You know, there's been multiple cases, you know, 100 million people died through communism, but they don't push that. So that's their way of silencing their critics. And I think they were kind of keeping the secret what they were doing.
Uh-huh. So do you see now, when you talk to a lot of the people who are also in the UFC and other veterans, does this topic come up? Because you have a lot of followers, mm-hmm. and what's their, do you see more people wanting to speak up, or what's their stance, or what's the feeling in the MMA world, UFC world? Yeah, a little
bit. The majority of the guys I talk to, like, either mostly agree with me or partially agree. A few guys disagree. I think a lot of guys just don't want to speak up, which I understand. It's like they're kind of trying to keep themselves, you know, out of politics, especially seeing the power of these, some of these groups have that are on the opposite side. All the power and money is on the opposite side, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, truth's on our side, but the power and money is all, no one's getting fired, you know, for supporting Israel, despite them doing a genocide, but lots of people are getting fired for supporting Palestine.
There's a great saying that if you either stand for something or you fall for anything. Mm-hmm. So that's where you have, you know, the true men, true people of mm-hmm. courage, you know, and that's, you know, what separates the real men from the boys, you know, the ones who really have a heart, not just to get in the cage, but to stand up mm-hmm. for things that will really make a difference in the world. And you're trying to speak up to help have a ceasefire, to help stop babies, kids from dying.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's tough, and sometimes like, oh, is it worth this backlash? But then, you know, I get people all the time, you know, saying, I had a bunch of accounts saying they were on the fence and they changed their mind from my account, and then I get people thanking me wherever I go. People, you know, have people even bring me gifts. So I'm like, all right, I guess it is worth putting myself on the line.
You also had something that someone can interpret as like a threat on your life mm-hmm. recently also, and it was someone who's, I think, is like washed up MMA fighter.
Yeah, a bum of a fighter. I know the guy. He was in New York when I was out there.
You knew the guy also?
Yeah, he wanted to train with me because he was terrible. He would get beat up by Gordon Ryan's little brother. Was like 13 at the time, and he was like tapping him out with ease.
No way.
Yeah, he wanted to train with me, but then he's out writing missiles, names of... First he wrote a bunch of the Muslim fighters' names on missiles, and I said that's kind of ridiculous that he would do that. Then he like wrote my name on a missile, and like, oh, I'll send this to you. So putting my name on missiles to go blow up little kids with it, it's such a weird thing how they write names of missiles, or they write like taunts on missiles, and they'll bring Israeli school children to go and write like to write on missiles, and they'll go bomb Palestinian children with it. It's just such a sick thing they do.
Yeah, I saw the name with Khabib, and then you had Hamzat, and you had Muhammad Bilal, but then not too long ago you got added on that list.
Yeah, right? Exactly, because I was speaking out, so he put me in. It's like, yeah, it's like a threat. And, you know, I have like direct threats in my life too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they're mostly, you know, full of it, but it still sucks when you open your inbox and people saying they're gonna come and kill you.
Uh-huh. And because you're trying to save the babies.
Yeah, they don't. I think it's just they don't want some of the truth exposed. I think Israel only survives through a lie, you know. Or I think at this point they've been there long enough for people to be happy if they did a real two-state solution. But I think they want to continue taking all that land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it seems like. It's just these things are used as a pretext to go ahead and just keep grabbing land. Mm-hmm. Just keep grabbing land, yeah. And that was when you had, I don't know if you had a chance, I really recommend people to bring it back to Candace Owens. She brought on a person whose parents survived the Holocaust, mother and father, and other family members were killed in the Holocaust, Norman Finkelstein. He's Jewish, academic, 40 years, he's dedicated his life to this. And those are the people, those stories really fascinate me. People of Jewish descent, Israelis, historians, former IDF, yeah. Breaking the Silence, who come out, you posted a lot of these also, mm-hmm. who'll come out and they'll speak on the side of truth.
Yeah.
Why? For what? Because, you know, they have so much to lose, but mm-hmm. they're coming out to let the world know.
Yeah, because they just know they're on the wrong side. You know, it takes a lot to own up that, you know, maybe especially your IDF, you're fighting on the wrong side. Or being Jewish, everyone expects you to be on a certain side because of your race, but it's truth should trample that.
Truth should mm-hmm. trample that, yes. Absolutely. Before all this started happening, we were talking about there was things that were going on, and you were discussing, you were on top of these things. You had people coming into the sports arena, and they were taking first place. because they were they were biologically they were born as a man, but they were coming in competing as women. Yeah. You were calling that out.
Yeah, I think
that's, you were one of the few calling that out.
That's utterly absurd, and that shows the absurdity of it, because this is an issue that almost everyone agrees with, and now a lot of people are starting to speak against it. But when I first started speaking against this, I was one of the only people doing it. It was considered brave. Like, how is it brave to speak against men competing with women? Everyone can look at that and be like, this is insanity. But when I was first doing it, no one would retweet my stuff. They would like it. They would tell me in secret, like, oh, I agree with you, but I can't say it. It's like, what are you talking about? Everyone agrees. Like, you know, everyone I talked to one-on-one would agree with me, but then everyone was scared to say it. So you see things. It shows you a lot of times with truth. Most people know it's true, but they're scared to speak it. And that one to me was the most ridiculous, because everyone knows a man and a woman are not the same physically, and people were just too scared to say it because they were told they're not supposed to. It just shows you how people will just go along with absurd lies just because they think they're supposed to.
Yeah, and that's what has you stand out from the rest, right? Because you're not somebody who's not only scared to come against, you know, all odds in the octagon or the ring, but also in real life. You stand for what you believe, and if you go in the direction of truth. So
yeah, I'm not willing to pretend that a woman is a man is a man is a woman, because I'm told that's what I'm supposed to believe. Yeah. And I was shocked how many people are going along with that. I think now not so many people are going along with it. I think people are starting to, no one ever believed it, but people were scared to say it before.
Uh-huh.
It was weird that was a controversial to say it. Extremely controversial to say that a year ago. Yeah. But now people are starting to be like, all right, this is absurd. I'm not going along with it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anything coming up now? How's with you? Anything? So you're retired now?
Yeah, you know, it's possible I'd hop in for, you know, one more if it was like a big fight that made sense, you know?
Yeah.
It's a big name guy, but I'm not trying to win any more world titles. It's when you're fighting at that world championship level, you got to be laser focused. All you're doing all day, just train. So I'm more on the business end of fighting, you know, just finished up a seminar tour with Nate Diaz, and now just kind of, you know, relaxing, a couple more days of work out here in Chicago, then back to Las Vegas.
Getting a chance to meet Nate Diaz with you, I mean, he's a really, like, down-to-earth guy. He was really cool. He's a real nice guy.
Yeah, he's crossed into, like, mainstream celebrity, but it hasn't gone to his head. He's still super down-to-earth, super chill, you know, still one of my best friends.
Yeah, you think, like, you know, someone can get the wrong impression, but just getting a chance to spend some time with him and you, he just real seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah, exactly. I've been fortunate where I surround myself with good people.
Yeah. So. How can people go ahead and reach your channel there or your page that they can go ahead and follow up on many of the things that you're sharing, and how I got exposed to a lot of the things through your page, actually?
Yeah, my Twitter is Jake Shields, AJJ. My Instagram is just Jake Shields. So those are probably the two best places to follow me.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Cool. Thank you. It was good having you on the program.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Jake. Cool. God bless you.
I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. Brothers and sisters, we've